No plague needs to come nigh thy dwelling. And this whole thing doesn't have to go on endlessly. And as he said, I believe, you know, it's in a short time frame right now. It's incumbent upon the people of God to take their place, to pray, to declare the word of God. And we can change this thing. Hallelujah. I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm, in a certain way, going to be taken off from what he said at the end there, that the people of God need to know God in a greater way. I'm going to say it this way. We need to know his resurrection power in a greater way. Resurrection's more than an event. For many around the world, they'll celebrate an event that happened 2,000 years ago. For some, it might be like a religious holiday where, okay, twice a year I go to church on the two big ones. But it's more. It's more than an event. It's more than a holiday. Resurrection is life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'll be in verse 15. Paul says how when he heard of their faith and love in the Lord Jesus, he continued, I'm sort of paraphrasing this rather than reading it. He continued to give thanks for them because good things were happening in them. He continued making mention of them in his prayer. You know, when you love someone, you think about them. You think good things about them. And when you remember good things, you'll be thankful for someone. And that all lends itself towards praying for increase. Verse 17, that he's praying in order that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, when something's a revelation, it existed, but you didn't know about it. But when it's a revelation, that which already was, you become aware of and you begin to understand. Wisdom's knowing what to do with such knowledge. It's one thing to know about Jesus, but what are we going to do with Jesus? Who do we say that he is? So he begins to state how he's praying for them. First, he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know three things he mentions. You would know first the hope of his calling. It's his calling. Few weeks ago, I shared about the calling of God, threefold call of God, that he first calls you to him, to fellowship with him, to come to him. Secondly, then he calls us to be sanctified, set apart for his purposes, that our life bring glory to God. And then thirdly, he calls us to specifically do certain things. Then he goes on, he says he's praying for the riches that they would know, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, earlier in the chapter, he talks about our inheritance, but here he's talking about his inheritance. God the Father inherited something at the death of a son. You know, you inherit something when someone dies and there's something that they have, and it would pass on to you. We inherited the kingdom of God at the death of Jesus Christ. God inherited you. He inherited a family. Now, you know, in my carnal mind, I'd say we got the better deal. But God received that which he sent his son to die for, which was a people who would become his family, born of his spirit, who would, by the Spirit of God working through them, bring glory and honor to God both in this earth and would take that to heaven forever and ever. He wants us to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Now, what that translates into then in terms of wisdom, if you see and understand how precious the church is to Jesus, the bride of Christ, how precious the church is, and how he had laid down his life for us as a people, if we see that, or the degree we see it, we will in turn do the same thing. We see, he sees his church as precious, we will treat his church, his people, as precious and valuable. We are not going to do things to hurt the church, or it would be gossip, or slander, or accusation or any such thing, but we want to also be a help to the church because he's going to be glorified in his people. You know, when someone, in order to promote their ministry, will hurt a local church, they're not of God. They don't know what they think they know. God will never hurt his baby. The reason he judged Ananias and Sapphira is their lie was about to bring destruction and division in the local church. That was the love of God. Judgment is love. When a person thinks that's God just having a fit of carnality, they don't really know the heart of God. God judges sin before sin destroys the object of his love, which is his people. Well, he goes on here, verse 19. The third part of his prayer for them is to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power, to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So he talks about his calling, his inheritance, his power. He wants us to know, and I like how when God uses like a lot of adjectives, that's like really important. The exceeding greatness of his power. He didn't just say, well, just to know a little bit of my power. The exceeding greatness. There's nothing greater than that. It's the power above all. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. The power of God is to those who believe. It's available to those who believe. That power was made manifest in the resurrection of Christ. Now, when it talks about power here in verse 19, there is the first word here speaks of inherent power. And where it says mighty power, it's speaking of manifest power. As believers in Jesus Christ, there is within us the power of God. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Romans 8:11. I think there's a song we sing. It has that as the chorus or the bridge or the verse, whatever. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. It is an inherent power. There are things that are in people. There are things that are in the animal kingdom. The German shepherds, every one we've ever had, have an inherent instinct to protect. Don't you lift a hand at my wife because they will protect. Little and still learning, but we were amazed at 4 months of age. Just one day, it's like something. A switch was flipped, and she's like giving it to the delivery people, kids riding down the street, people driving in a car. So we had to like train her. Okay, that neighbor's a good guy. You don't bark at him. But it's like a switch flipped on. It's inherent. We didn't try to teach it. Don't have to teach it. It's just in that dog, that breed, to do such a thing, to protect. There are things that are in you that God put there. It's inherent within you. One of the things that we do and experience as we're maturing in this life is to find out what's in us. Find out. And you know, young people, that becomes a dominant thought. What am I going to do with my life? Why am I here? What's in me to do? And you'll understand what's in you by seeing something manifest. For example, Jared has a gift relative to music. But early in life, when, say, a young person has a gift like that, something's like triggering inside. I can do that. I could do that. I could do that. Now, there's things we can learn to do. At the age of 50, my wife had the Food Channel on a lot. When she'd be making dinner, she'd have it on. So I'm sitting there waiting for dinner to be done. And I'm watching this. And the thought began to develop within my mind. I could do that. I could do that. And up to that point, I didn't particularly want to yet. But I could. I begin to believe I could do that. This is not rocket science. And there was a guy I used to like to watch who was a teacher. Teachers love teachers. So he was teaching how to do things. And I don't profess I'm beyond a beginner, but I began. But as I'm continuing to watch, something happened on the inside, a desire ignited, I want to do that. And having grown up very traditional, men worked outside the house, women worked inside, very traditional. Well, that's why you're a male chauvinist, huh, Pastor Bill? No, I'm not a male chauvinist. But I grew up with very defined roles. You know, some people grow up different. It's not a right or wrong. You know, what's important is that a husband and wife are in agreement. Okay, we do this together, you do this here, you do that there. So you can learn to do certain things in life, but that's not my gift. I don't have a gift from God. I remember once when I was cooking for our Bible school students, I'd make them lunch, and this one person starting to talk like, well, you have a gift now in that. So no, I don't have a gift. It's something I made a decision to learn to do because in watching, I began to believe I could. And in continuing with that and wanting to be a blessing, I had a desire grow in me. That's not the same thing as having a gift God puts in you. So someone has a gift for music. And as they begin to listen to music, and maybe they go to a concert or something, and they see someone, and they see that gift coming out of someone else, something begins to get activated on the inside. There's a desire that serves to pursue after that, unto the discipline of practice. If you don't practice your instrument, you will not be any good at it. And the music teacher say, amen. But if you don't have the desire, you won't submit yourself to the discipline it takes to develop something. Now, in the natural, there are gifts like that. There's many different gifts. And we learn to develop those things. But then there's things God puts in you. And that really, the things God puts in you is where you actually bless people the most in life. And you will be the most fulfilled and satisfied in the activity of that gift, the action of that gift. Now, I am not one that preaches gifts above loving God and serving Him. I remember 1993, God spoke to me one day about don't emphasize gifts more than just a relationship with God and being a servant, a friend and a brother. Because people will begin to move towards what's emphasized. And the Lord told me very clearly, you emphasize the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the character, authority, and power of God. Then out of that comes the heart to obey the Lord and the power of God to do it. Yes. Now, that being said, God does give gifts, and we should pay attention to those things. And we should, you know, look to develop those things. But the challenge for people is what is in you. It is within me to teach and preach. The amazing thing, the devil tries to suppress every human being. And I was the most shy kid that I ever met. No one saw a teacher in me. No one. No one saw a preacher in me. No one. And I didn't know it was there. But after receiving Jesus Christ as Lord of my life and being saved from my sin, delivered from demonic oppression and all of salvation, there's a heart, Lord, I love you. I just want to be a blessing to you. I want to know you. And it drove me. And I remember as a young believer, I didn't know the Bible. I remember getting at a get-together with some relatives, and this one cousin who was a born-again Christian said, well, they preach salvation at that church where you're starting to go to. And I said, I didn't even know what the word meant. Salvation, what's that? Now, that was no fault of the church. I just started going. I just got born again. I didn't know the meanings of church language, Bible language. But I set myself to learn. I said, I don't know. And here's this young man. I started going to church. And I had two things I could do to give unto the Lord. I had a strong back and a pickup truck. And where I began to go was a rather large charismatic church. A lot of young people. And there was always somebody moving. And the young girls would always get a third floor apartment. Because it was cheaper. And they would always have, somebody gave them an old upright piano, weighs about 500 pounds or more. Just simple loving Jesus, I'll move that piano in the refrigerator. And I'll try not to put holes in the wall, which usually always happen, coming down three flights of stairs and twisting and turning. You end up, the end of the piano puts a big hole in the wall on top of it. You see, when you see what God's done for you, you'll find something to do. You begin to follow after love. And as I began to learn a little bit more and get into the Word, I was so grateful, and I was in such bondage to the fear to be able to talk. I couldn't talk to people, and from doing drugs, my brain would freeze. And I'd be answering in a conversation what was discussed 5 and 10 minutes previously. It'd take me that long for my brain to process through how to answer. Does not make you an attractive person in a singles group. Because Donna was able to see beyond all of that, right? But the cry of my heart was, God, heal my brains. I've got to be able to talk to people about Jesus because he gave me life. He set me free. That which I was looking for all my young life, I've found in Jesus Christ. I have life. Set me free. This is a prayer of somebody who doesn't know much anything yet. And over a short course of time, he set me free and began just going out looking for people to witness to and talk to about Jesus. And out of that came then the awareness. Out of those times, I had a partner. He was a more evangelist. And we would go. He knew every farmer south of Redline. And we went to every one of those farms. Well, everyone that he knew. And sitting in these kitchens, leading people to Jesus, farmers, and praying they get baptized in the Holy Ghost and healed. Those were the early days. I didn't know that much. But there was something driving me, and that was a gratitude to God. And just knowing I had to do something. And that's all I knew to do at that point. Begin to learn the Word. I'll give that. Don't wait to come to some great place. Start today. Give what you have. It could be a strong back and a pickup truck. And that truck wasn't much to look at either. I mean, you had to be pretty desperate to have me move your nice living room furniture in the back of that old pickup truck. But to begin to give the Word, and what happens, you see a value on a relationship with God, a value in the church, and you begin just to serve and to give. And what's going to begin to happen is you begin to become aware of the gift of God that's on the inside of you. You don't have to chase after looking for the gift. Just chase after Jesus and let love guide you. And you'll begin to become aware of these things. Well, then around this same time, early on, there's a hunger. After my father died, 20 years old, I've got to know the power of God. I knew that wasn't right. I read enough of the Bible to know that's not right. And God led me. I went to a Christian bookstore. Soon there won't be any more of them. But I went to one. It was down over the hills. This Bread Banner, his name was. And the Holy Ghost led me. He can lead you as a young believer. You don't have to be some far-off developed place. All you have to do is pay attention and listen and have a desire there, a right desire. And I pulled 5 books off the shelf. It was Wigglesworth, Ever Increasing Faith. Norval Hayes, Lay Hands on Everything That Moves. That's not the title, but that's how he handled it. There was one on the Holy Spirit. And there was two by Kenneth E. Hagin, The Key of Scriptural Healing and The Authority of the Believer. And in The Authority of the Believer, he shared in there how he took these scriptures and prayed every day. These and certain other ones, but these in particular, how he prayed that over himself, by himself in a church. He was a Baptist pastor and he got filled with the Spirit and he realized he didn't know a whole lot yet. And he was praying this over himself. And what happened was the revelation came alive in him. So I'm reading this and I began to do what he said. Sometimes it's okay to do what somebody else says. Do this. This will work. You know, soon, if you've never gardened before, someone might say, till the soil. Do it now. I don't have time. And then a couple months later, why isn't anything growing in my garden? Sometimes, follow the instruction of the voice of wisdom. Well, anyway, well, if Kenneth Hagin did that and that work for him, I'm going to do it. That's what's in Ephesians. That's what Paul said to do. It's praying that every day. And when you begin to do something like that, you do it in faith out of a witness that you had in your heart. Yeah, I think I should do this. And you stay with that. And as time passes, you look back and begin to see, wow, that's actually happening. I've grown in my understanding. And sometimes, sort of like a fire, if you don't see where it starts, the kindlings all burn up, and you might not realize where the forest fire started. Well, times of prayer like that's where the spiritual forest fire can start. And sometimes there's things that get released later on down the line because you were praying back here. Don't toss aside, well, it didn't happen right away. Some things are going to take some time. And God ordains times and seasons to do certain things. I remember 1983, we lived down along the river. And he put it in my heart to walk and pray along the river every morning. It'd be 2 miles up, a mile around through a park, 2 miles back. I'd take between 2 and 4 hours every morning praying these things. And I remember a few years later, I look back and see something happened into me relative to understanding and revelation. And it was then. But at the time, I didn't know it. I found when it comes to fasting and praying, most of the time, the answer doesn't come like right when you're praying. It's later. But the faith was released in that obedience and in that time of prayer. And down the line, something just pops open to you. But it was a result of the prayer back here. What Brother Pierce was saying is the people of God need to pray for a greater revelation relative to resurrection, life, and power, and we're going to see this plague pass over us. Where my faith is that no one in this house is going to be afflicted by that plague. Now, you can agree with me, or you can walk off in fear. That's all on you. But that's where my faith is. We can link up together, believing God together for one another. That as for me and my house, to use how Joshua said it, we will serve the Lord. As for us and our house, we will walk in health. We shall not be afflicted, and we shall have a testimony. Our Savior is not the government. It's not a scientist. It's not a doctor. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. He has a name. And it's by His resurrection power. Hallelujah. Well, we understand inherent power by manifest power. And in the resurrection, the power of God manifests in a way that everyone around him saw it. And then they passed that on through the written word of God. They spoke of it. In being a witness for Christ, you are a witness of what? That he is alive. That he is raised from the dead. And he lives in me. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Praise the Lord. Inherent power is known by manifest power. It was worked or wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, verse 20, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So Jesus not only was raised from the dead, but then he ascended to the right hand of the Father after that 40 days. And then 10 days later, he sends the Holy Ghost that they can bear witness of the resurrection. Now, one interesting thing here in Acts chapter 1, he's sending them right back to the people that crucified him. That may be one thing. Say, Lord, I'll preach you some faraway country where nobody knows me. But they're going to preach Jesus is alive. He's raised from the dead right back in the face of the very people that had hatefully wanted him crucified. Well, they better have the power of the Holy Ghost doing that. And they did. And God worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. But notice it says he sat at the right hand of in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. You know what the word dominion means? Civil authority. Jesus, in his resurrection, not only gives life, not only defeated the devil, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but he is at the right hand of God, the supreme authority of the universe. Everything will bow the knee to his name, to him. So it's talking about every Satan and every demon and every civil authority, all authority is beneath his authority. Pharaoh thought he was something else. He's big, powerful, king, Pharaoh. And he was brought down. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. When it speaks of everything under his feet, it means it's under his authority. He has authority over everything. The great question many times people raise, mostly unbelievers would raise this, is that, well, if God's in control, why is it such a mess on the earth? Why is there such evil? Why is there such tragic things? That's because he has given us authority to be exercised on this earth. And Satan still has a time on the earth. But when the Lord returns, his second coming, Satan will be locked up and cast into a pit. But until then, it's up to us to speak the word and to release the power of God. Evil's free to roam the earth in those who will receive the work of that evil. The Spirit of God's also here, and we have a covenant with him, and by faith we can lay hold of the promises of God. He is the place above all authority. We understand that power that put him there, resurrection power, by way of what was manifest. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you, he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespass and sin. Sin brings death. Sin separates us from God. Spiritual death is separation from God. There's no way man can bring himself out of that. Man works so hard to try to save himself, but it goes on in the chapter, says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man boast. By grace, through faith, no virus shall afflict me, you, all of us together as we stand in faith. By grace, through faith, man's going to do all we can. Oh my God, there's no answer for this. Yeah, there is an answer. It's in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says here, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, talking about Satan, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, that's not the end. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when you were dead in sin. Now, he loved you when you were as ugly could be. He loved you when you were as bad could be, while you were yet in sin. You didn't like, well, Lord, I'm trying real hard. I think I've been a good boy this week. Can you bless me? No, man could not deliver himself out of sin. You know, there can be some sicknesses man can't deliver himself out of either. But we're redeemed from that curse. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. We just need the revelation of it and to release it by speaking the word of God and speaking in the name of Jesus. For his great love wherein he loved us, even when you were dead in sin, he quickened or made us alive together with Christ. We are raised up with him. Now, my body, your body, is not resurrected yet. Our spirit is. And Romans chapter 6, oh, I love Romans chapter 6. I don't have time to preach that today, but I'll just make reference there. It says that we are buried with him in his death and raised up in the likeness of his resurrection. We are raised up in the same way. In Romans 6, he says, death has no more dominion over him. Sin has no more dominion over us. Death has no dominion. We are raised up in that same resurrection in our spirit man. We have eternal life. We have resurrection life. Again, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Our spirit's alive. Even if our body dies, our spirit's alive. We're taken up to be with him. We don't have to be afraid. Don't let a spirit of fear get on you. If you listen to too much of what the world says or get around them too much, the fear devil on them is going to jump on you. But we need to be a light. When you go in that grocery store, everyone has a sour puss look on their face. You can go in there with the joy of the Lord. Donna likes to take shorter, more frequent trips to the grocery store. It's always a witnessing opportunity. I really, you know, I like her stories that she'll tell me a couple times a week. Yeah, I just was, you know, she'll be kind to somebody. You can see that fear devil is on them. Start listening a little bit. And you just wait, listen, and wait. And you can interject the gospel. It doesn't have to be long. It can be just the name of Jesus. God will give you peace, ma'am. And many a time I'll say, yes, you're right. Because they heard the word before. But you can have those, as Brother Pierce was saying, whose hearts are going to open. As you can focus on the negativity that's around it, but it's a day of opportunity. Because people who thought they didn't need the Lord, people who thought the pleasure of sin could make them happy, they don't have anything right now. And pray for the Holy Ghost to bring to remembrance the word they heard since they were a little boy or girl. The things they heard in church, that God would stir their hearts and it begin to echo and ring in their mind and in their ears, in their inner ear, to where they begin to realize, like the prodigal son, it was better back here with God. I'm being tormented. I have no hope. See, that's where we're going to use this situation for the glory of God. There'll be some who will come out, but those in a time like this that don't will get more hard and bitter than they have ever been. You see, in the test, the trial, everything gets magnified. There'll be those that'll come, and there'll be those who get even harder. But praise God, there'll be some that are going to accept Jesus Christ in this day and hour, as we will be so bold to proclaim who he is. And again, you don't have to get preachy at people. You do not underestimate just being in a store and say, you know, Jesus loves you. He's going to. You might even ask him, can I pray for you? I don't think anyone's going to get too fired up unless they're demon possessed. Then you know they will. But they'll say, thank you. Yes. Because they know whatever they were trusting in is not going to cut it. And we know life. We know resurrection power. Well, he says, verse 6, and he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means we are raised up with him and his authority over devils. We have authority over a devil that wants to talk in your ear. We have authority over a disease that wants to afflict your body. We have authority in the realm of the spirit. We are raised up with him. And we want that picture in our mind I am seated with him. And within me, inherent within me, is resurrection power. Lord, help me to know that power more. Brother Pierce talked about like a 40-day time period. Consider this. Pray this every day. This next 40 days. I believe this thing is going to lift. And there'll be people in the world say, oh yeah, that was because we did social distancing and all that. They'll want to take the glory. Don't worry about them. We know it's God. We know it's God. Not only he's going to heal people, but he's going to protect every one of us. It's resurrection power. We can understand this. We've been given the gift of righteousness. We have the blood of Jesus. We can boldly approach the throne. I'll just say one more thing. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:12 both say, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He talked about the power of the blood. The blood provides redemption legally. Resurrection provides the vital side of redemption. It was a revelation Brother Kenyon brought out in most of his books, the legal and vital side of redemption. We need to know it's been paid for. Satan has no right to my body or my soul, or because the blood of Jesus Christ paid for me to be free. And the resurrection brought the release of the life and power of God. And we can partake of that every day. And it can be unexpected, like Giovanna's testimony. She just wakes up, lying on her bed, decides not to go to sleep, and just meditate on Jesus. And she has an encounter. You never know when God might just surprise you. He's come to me in the most unusual time sometimes. When I say unusual, I mean, I wasn't doing anything in particular, not wanting being spiritual necessarily, of what you would think. But we pray, we release our faith, and he will meet us. He will manifest himself in that which we would need in our life. We should expect that. There are a lot of times in the Bible the Lord would send an angel and like people were like, I mean, Mary wasn't expecting that. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we see it throughout. We need to enjoy this walk and expect God's going to reveal himself. He's going to manifest himself. He'll speak to us. And we can just enjoy this walk. And we don't have to let all this garbage going on around us bring us down. But enjoy walking with Jesus, knowing there is the victory by way of the resurrection.